as I remember, I was working the USA Today crossword puzzle, which is typically what I would do when I got on a plane.
What do you first feel was going wrong?
On the last row where I was, there was one empty seat between me and the gentleman at the window. I heard this really loud noise and the plane dropped a little bit, you know, not a lot, but I could tell we lost a little bit of altitude, or at least that was my perception. So I asked him what it was, and he told me it was birds because he had actually seen the bird. And then over to my left, I could see smoke and smelt sort of a burning odor, which we now know was burning goose flesh. But at that point, I just thought, okay, that's fire. So we've got a problem.
Did time slow down?
I would say yes. I would say time did slow down. I would also say from the time that the birds hit the engines till the time we hit the Hudson River was 3.5 minutes, which may not sound like a long time, but you know, if you set your stopwatch for 3.5 minutes and thought, okay, for this amount of time, I'm thinking this is my last moments of time, 3.5 minutes is a long time. Different from like if you're in a car accident, you know, it just comes out of nowhere. You don't see it coming. It wasn't like that. We had quite a few moments to process.
And one of the thoughts is we're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm in this jetliner. We have very little airspeed. We have almost no altitude. We're over one of the most densely populated areas in the world. So, yeah, I thought that was it.
And when you think that's it, what do you think of?
Well, for me, I thought of my children. And to think that I wasn't going to be, you know, the mother of the bride or plan their birthday parties, that sort of stuff made me very, very, very sad. I could not believe that this is how my life was going to end. You know, I had a great-grandmother that lived to 104, grandmothers that lived into their 90s. You know, I just sort of always had this vision of I'll die at 98 in the nursing home. You know, I'll get to do the full ride of this life. So I was almost shocked that at 37, I was out of time, that was going to be it. And in fact, as it was going down, you know, I thought of my husband and we never kept up with details like what airline, what flight number, what connection city. So I thought, he didn't even know I'm on this plane. So I literally took out my BlackBerry at the time and sent him a text message that just said, my flight is crashing.
The plane hit the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Hard?
Hard. Yeah, we hit the Hudson at 160 miles an hour. And Sullenberger did a textbook landing, and that landing required that he bring the tail of the airplane down first. And I happened to be sitting in the tail of the airplane, so got to feel the full brunt of the impact. And, you know, it was hard, and it was violent, and it shook a lot.
And we know that worse was coming, because after the landing came the water.
Right. After the landing came the water, and that's where, for me, the self-survival, the tendency to want to panic, the real fear came in, because at that point, before that, you had no control. You're just sitting in your seat, and what's going to happen is going to happen. But once we're in the water, you realize, hey, I got a second chance at this. I can maybe make it out of here. So I went to the rear galley, thinking the closest exit is the back. Well, you can't get out the back. The doors won't open. And worse than that, the APU, the auxiliary power unit, fell off the tail of the plane when we hit the water. So it created a really huge hole in the underbelly of the aircraft. So the water just starts rolling in, I mean, fast, like in seconds. It went from my ankles to about my shoulders. And I'm 5'5". So, you know, it came up 4.5 feet and it was, you know, rushing water and it was 35 degree water. So it was terribly, terribly cold. For me at that point, that was really my scariest moment because I thought I'm going to drown in this galley. I mean, there's no way out and the water's coming in and people are still trying to come to the back. And it was just, you know, it was just chaotic. Everybody was in survival mode. And there's this image that sticks in my mind of this man who was in a rear row, because a lot of people are thinking, well, the closest exit is the back. Let's go to the back. Well, at this point, I'm 100% sure nobody's getting out the back. I mean, the back's sinking. And I see this man, and he's got panic on his face, and he's probably 6'2", 6'3", and he's just coming at me. So I just put both my hands up. Earlier, I'd heard the flight attendant say, go to the wings. So I just put both my hands up and said, go to the wings, you know, go to the wings. And it sort of just stopped him. I think I must have yelled it loud enough or forcefully enough that he just stopped and turned around. Had he not stopped, I was afraid he would just, you know, mow right over me and I'd go down under the water. But he did stop and he turned and people started to turn and we all started to move towards the wings.
In that moment of telling him what to do, you'd marshaled your own energy. Something had happened in you.
Yes. I had that brink where when the water was coming in, I so wanted to panic. But then I had, and this sounds crazy, but I had sort of a peace, a calm come over me. And I just instinctively knew that panicking was not going to save my life. You know, I had too much to live for not to get off that airplane.
And at around this time, I'm seeing this picture. It's flashed around the world. The whole of the international news is taken up with this great news story, a survivor's story. And everyone wanted it to be just fine for you guys, didn't it? Everyone wanted a hero, but it wasn't like that for you, was it?
It wasn't like that for me. It was the good news story of the year. I mean, it was the, wow, okay, miracles can happen. It gave everybody something to be excited about. But as a passenger, it was still the scariest thing I had ever been through in my life. So there was this struggle.
What's happened in the news, you're connected, aren't you, with this descent that's ended so violently and tragically in France. And does it reawaken moments of the descent for you?
Hearing that they had, you know, 8 minutes, I think I've heard of descent. Having gone through 3.5 minutes of thinking something tragic was going to happen and knowing how terrible that was, it makes me very, very sad for those passengers and very, very sad for all their families. It's tough. It's hard.
Did you ever send that text? Did your husband ever get the text?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got it. Mm-hmm. He got it. He had been actually at the gym, oddly enough, swimming, and he had come back out to check his voicemails. And I had talked to my sister just before the flight, and she saw it on TV. So she called my husband wanting to know my flight number, my airline, all that sort of stuff. Well, when he got her crazy message, he went back into the gym where, like, the treadmills are, and it was on every TV. And then his phone vibrated with the text that said, my flight is crashing. So then he knew I was on board, but didn't know if I was alive. So for about half an hour, my parents and my sister and my husband, they knew I was on board, but they didn't know if I had survived. And they had their own trauma from that. That was a rough half hour, which makes me so empathetic for all those families of flights that go down and they have, you know, a year with, or, you know, days, months, just the not knowing is hard.